Let us turn in our Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. You can find that in page 837 in your pew Bibles. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11. As you heard, verse 11 is the theme verse for this year for cadets, that God is seeking us. And so tonight we read about God seeking his people in Ezekiel 34, verses 11, and we'll be reading through verses 16. Well, this is God's word. "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock. When he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they are scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines and in all the settlements in the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice." This is God's word. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we ask that you would teach us your word. Oh, Spirit, work in our hearts to apply this word to our own lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, cadets, you know, I don't know if it's a flattering thing to be called a sheep. Do you think it's a flattering thing to be called sheep? Because last time I checked, they're not the sharpest tools in the shed. They're not that bright, right? They are not the brightest things, but it appears that God often calls his people sheep. And what I've learned in my own life, that I'm not always the sharpest tool in the shed myself. The reality is what I find out when it comes to godly living and it comes to obedience to the path that God has set before me, I can struggle, actually. I'm like one of those sheep at times, straying maybe a little bit from the flock, maybe being tempted this way or that way. And the illustration that the Word of God gives us tonight is about a scattered flock. And what I find so, well, wonderful is that even though we might not be the sharpest tools in the shed, although I might not be the brightest person, and definitely not the best looking person, that the God of all creation, right, still desires to seek me. I think that's incredible to think about, that God desires that I would be part of his family, part of his flock, even though I'm not that special when I look at myself in the mirror on Monday morning. And I find that that's what's so wonderful about this text, that even though I'm a man that has sinned so many times in my life, that God still sought me. He didn't abandon me. He didn't cast me away. No, he sought me. He sought you. He sought us. It's truly a wonderful story that we could actually be included in God's family, although what I know of myself and what I know of all is that all have fallen short of the glory of God because all sin. Yet God is seeking us. And that's what made God so upset in this story. Because God had established shepherds in Israel. He had established priests and kings and princes. and prophets. But the problem is, if you look at the context or the story itself and the outside story, is that the shepherds of Israel have been unfaithful to what God has called them to be. The kings and the prophets and the priests had not been faithful. Look at the context. If your Bibles are open, and it's always good to have your Bible open. Cadets, it's good to have your Bibles open. I like cadets with their Bibles open. Is your Bible open? Okay, that's good. I like that because I want you to be paying attention to the story, to God's story. And it says this, verse 1, chapter 34. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourself with wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals. And because my shepherds did not search for my flock, but cared for themselves rather than for my flock, therefore, O shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. Now, these are some unfaithful shepherds. The shepherds are namely the leaders of Israel. Simple way to put it. The leaders of Israel that were in charge with caring for and serving the people of God. But what do you find in the text? They're selfish shepherds. They're far more into bling, 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 right? And ching, 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 right? Cash, money, than they are into the Lord and into what he says. Now, before we go on from these shepherds, before we just go on and say, oh, that's not me. Anyone here have a problem with being selfish? Anyone? None of you have a problem with being selfish in the morning, right? No. Well, I think we all have a problem, don't we? I think we all tend to like money more than we should. But we're far more attracted to things and possessions and stuff. I mean, it's not just shepherds 2,500 years ago that had a problem in Israel. It's also just average Joes in the pew today and in the pulpit. So I don't want us to just think this is a story a long time ago. This is still an ongoing story. Because the reality is selfishness still exists in the hearts of the people. But what we also know about these shepherds going back 2,500 years is that they were harsh shepherds. They were also careless shepherds. Actually, they're called that, well, there's no shepherds at all. There's no one shepherding the sheep, although they're there. Although they're there. And I think the greatest charge you see in verses 9 and 10 is that basically these are wolves in shepherd's clothing. Did you see that in the text? I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. Wow. I will rescue my flock from the mouths of these shepherds, which are merely what? Wolves. They care nothing for the church. They care nothing for the truth. They care nothing for the very community of God that God had established to be his people. And so God is angry with the shepherds of Israel. The sovereign Lord is angry because his shepherds have not been faithful. But God says, I will be faithful. God says, I will be faithful. You see that in verse 11. That's the theme verse for the cadets. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. You hear God speaking into this vacuum of shepherding leadership because there is none. Everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. It is as if Judges has come back again in Israel. And so God says, I will be the faithful shepherd of Israel. And here's the question for us. Why, as you're looking at the text before you, why had the flock been scattered? Why had Israel been scattered throughout all the nations? Because you see very clearly that this shepherd, our sovereign Lord, God Almighty, will gather them from the nations. So why had the flock of Israel been scattered? Why were they in Babylonia? Why had they been sent all the way to the Tigris River? The Nineveh plain. Why had they gone to Egypt? Why had they been scattered across the world? Well, it was because of what? Unfaithfulness. They had not been faithful to their God. They had not listened to the voice of the great shepherd to begin with. And not only that, they had all these other shepherds that worshipped other gods along with the true God, the God of Israel. They had abandoned a Godward life, a God-pleasing life. The fear of the Lord had departed from Israel. Thus the wisdom of the Lord had departed from Israel. And I believe every single generation of followers of the Lord Jesus Christ can succumb to the same disease of the soul. We can abandon our God-word, God-pleasing life. You know, it's very easy to compromise, isn't it? It's very easy to conform to the images, the messages, the temptations of this life. It's easy to go with the crowd, isn't it? Or to go with the flow. And Israel found that same problem. They had conformed themselves to their pagan cultures that were around them. They had abandoned the worship of the one true God. And they had been scattered. They were lost sheep. They weren't merely lost because they left the promised land. They were lost because their hearts were wayward. Their hearts had abandoned God. That's why they were exiled. And friends, unbelief can never help anyone enter the kingdom of God, can it? No, they were scattered because of unbelief. The reason that the people of Israel, as they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years and died in the wilderness, why was that? Because of unbelief, as Psalm 95 says. It's because they abandoned trusting the Lord God and His promises. Believing that God's way is the best way. Maybe there are multiple ways to pleasing God. Maybe there are multiple truths. Maybe there are multiple gods that all lead to the same mountain. Because that's our day, isn't it? Multiple truths, multiple paths, multiple gods all lead to the same mountain. But the reality is, there is no other way to the mountain than to the one true God of Israel. There is no other way up to the mountain apart from Jesus Christ. As we proclaimed at Gene Kenbeek's funeral, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. No one comes to the mountain. No one enters the promised land of eternal bliss except through Jesus Christ. But the people had abandoned that. Friends, do you ever feel that ache? Prone to wander from the one you love? Does anyone here ever struggle with that? Prioritizing loving God? Does anyone? Thank you, brother. This message is not just merely for a message for, well, the 6th century BC. This is a message for us. But what do we learn about God? What God do we serve? What does he speak of himself in these verses of verse 11 through 16? Well, you find a God who searches, right? He's a God who searches out his people. It's not first that they search him, it's first that he searches them. Did Abraham search for God in his paganism in Ur? No. The Lord God came to Abraham. And again, did Moses want to go back to the to Egypt by himself? Who sought him? Our Lord God in the burning bush called Abraham with his 10,000 excuses to go to Egypt and proclaim, "Let my people go." Throughout the entire narrative of the Bible, we have a God who is always searching out his people. He is seeking them to gather them, to rescue them. I love the language, to rescue the sheep of Israel from the nations. The God we find here is a God full of compassion, even in the midst of the unbelief of his people. He's willing to rescue them. He's willing to pursue them. And he's willing to go to the four corners of the earth to find them. That's powerful. That's the God you serve, brothers. And he's a God that wants to bring his people into the glorious green pastures of paradise, to return the people of Israel to the promised land, and to care for the sheep of Israel in the promised land. Do you hear the nature of Yahweh, the creator of the cosmos, the one who governs all things, wants to care for his people? He wants to provide individually for his people. He wants to do good to his people. He's a good shepherd, isn't he? You know, friends, when you go to a text like this, you can't help but as a shepherd to see your own failures and weaknesses. I felt very uncomfortable studying this text. And that's always the best thing, when you feel uncomfortable. And God sifts the reality of your own soul and your own motivations. Because it's talking about ministers, isn't it? It's talking about leaders. And aren't we to be holy like he is holy? Aren't we to be men and women of care and compassion, desiring that people would be saved? Desiring that people would be sought to the four corners of the world? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And if you look at the context of this reading, in verse 23, God says this, "I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken." I love that little nugget. In the midst of this big book called Ezekiel. But here's the problem. David is dead. He's been rotting in the grave for over a half millennia. What David is he speaking of? What good shepherd is he speaking of? Who is he? Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep. And I believe here you see this kind of, in shadows, you see that reality, the reality of the good shepherd. So turn in your Bibles very quickly to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Here we come to the intersection of the reality of the prophecy of Ezekiel to the people of God as he was living in the Chebar River in the Babylonian captivity. Jesus is that good shepherd that was proclaimed so long ago by the prophet Ezekiel. And Jesus said this in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I am. That language of divinity. I am. You could almost hear, I am. I was the one speaking to Ezekiel by the Chebar River in Babylonia. I was the one speaking to the Israelites so long ago. I was speaking about this day, about my coming, the good shepherd of the sheep. And it says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up. This command I received from my Father. Look at that. What do you see in Jesus? Someone who searched for you, right? Luke 19, verse 10 says this, for the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, came to seek and to save that which was lost. He searched for me. Put it in the plural. Put it personally. He's speaking to you, is he not? Through his word? By his spirit, he is speaking. He's not silent. He speaks right now. And he speaks, I am the good shepherd. And good shepherds do what? They seek their sheep. They go in search. Friends, if you are found tonight in Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you one thing. He sought you. You didn't seek him. He sought you. He changed you. He took that dead heart and breathed life into it by the power of the Spirit. And you said, Amen. You said, Amen. And listen to the Good Shepherd. He rescued me. Do you hear the language? I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he says again, I lay down my life. I lay it down. I lay it down. He rescued us. Our shepherd is not just one with a staff, but our shepherd is the one who went on the wood itself and was crucified for sinners. And he did it because others made him, or willfully. He willfully died for every single sin you have ever and will ever commit. Willfully, he died for you. Willfully, he rescued you. That's a good shepherd. That he gave his life for the sheep. And not just for some of them, but for all of the sheep. And what I know very clearly is that he knows me. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Do you hear that intimacy? You can hear that, even the catechism, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I'm not my own, but I belong. Body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus knows me. Jesus loves me. Jesus cares for me. These are so obvious, aren't they? But are they? It's not just someone else. It's me. And do you know that, cadets? Do you know that he searches for you? Do you know that he rescued you through his own death on a cross? Do you know that he knows you? And do you know that he cares for you? Because when you come to the text, you can't help but see that the God we worship loves us. He loves us so deeply, so intimately. Our God, of course, is transcendent and all-powerful and all-knowing and all-present, but yet he is also intimately involved in our lives, all the way to who dwells here. Who dwells in you, brother? Who dwells in you, sister? Is it not the Spirit of Christ? Is it not him who died for you? Is it not him who suffered the ravages of God's wrath for your sin? And what can you what do you hear when he says, "It is finished"? I hope you hear this. I love my people. And he died. And so, flock of the Good Shepherd, as we look upon his sacrifice, as we look upon his infinite love, as we know this reality of his presence in me, in you, how does that energize us, quicken us tonight? Well, I believe very clearly the flock of the Good Shepherd, as we see here, seeks the lost that they would be saved. And the cadet ministry is a ministry that seeks the lost. And here's why. Because the cadet ministry proclaims the gospel of Jesus Christ when you sing, "Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that you do." And the reality of my own personal life, those words from that song were very important in my conversion. So the ministry of cadets and GEMS and every single ministry, we're always seeking to save the lost through the proclamation of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen? That's what we're about. That's what he did. To seek and save the lost. And so too we want to seek and save the lost by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, both to covenant children, but also to the children of our neighborhoods, of our community. And not just children, but men and women in our workplaces. And so friends, do you see that he seeks you? May that seeking of you, may that wondrous, beautiful truth create in you a deeper hunger, even tonight, to be the instrument by which God uses in the life of someone else to seek them through the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus. Because you know lots of people like I do that need to hear about the love of Christ. And ultimately, what do we want for sheep? What is the whole purpose of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why does this church exist? Why do I preach the gospel? Why do you teach catechism? Why do you teach Sunday school? Why are you counselors in cadets? Why? Because ultimately, we want hearts satisfied in God. Right? We want souls satisfied in God. Because when men and women find their greatest satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is most glorified at that moment. Would you agree that when we are most satisfied in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of the Spirit and in the love of the Father, He is most glorified? I believe it so. I believe it so. I just don't want to teach information. We want people to come to a living encounter with the living Christ dwelling in them and be satisfied. You know the old song, "I can't get no satisfaction"? Well, he never found Christ. That's why he cannot find any satisfaction that lasts forever. People of God, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're a God who seeks us. You pursued us even in our sin, even in our rebellion. You pursued us. And you pursued us even before we existed at the cross when your Son died for our sins. And, O Spirit, you brought us to that reality to see how beautiful Jesus was, how ugly our sins were and are. And so you united us through faith in Jesus to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit so that tonight we can say, "Abba, Father," and we can say, "Christ is more precious and more satisfying than anything in the universe." And you are. Oh, Father, bless the cadets. Bless these young boys. Oh, would you grow them into men who are burning for Christ, for his service, and for his glory. Oh, hear our prayer, we ask in Jesus' name.